Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cried the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
Freaky Darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Furling, Giddy, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Join Jeremy Thursday morning as he brings you the headliner's ball. And then break on through with Pam on Friday. Saturday, join Aphasia and Babbler as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. These shows are designed so you can color outside the lines with rich, raw emotion, tinged with colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thought through pen and voice. So, pull up a chair, relax, and open your minds. I'm Rex. I'm my co-host, Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. And for your information, Pam, that's not OE, that's sweet, sweet.
I knew that. Actually, I did know that. I was just joking around. But, yes, I remember it from, I can't remember what show or cartoon, but I do remember the high-pitched squealing sweet. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, you have no idea. Jeremy and I have been giving Pee-wee a hard time for the past week, because last week on Monday, when you left your usual note that you leave before, like, just leaving us all off into the void, instead of putting Pee-wee, you put O-E-E-W-E-E. So for the past week, Jeremy and I have been calling him O-E-E-Wee.
Okay, that'd be fat fingers and O sits next to the P. Oh, well, sorry, Pee-wee.
Too late now, Rex. You've started a fire that just cannot be put out. But how are you doing tonight?
Nice.
All right, very cool. Me too. We've got a great lineup of poetry tonight. I was pleasantly surprised. Not only do we got the contest filled with 20 rights, also top shelf poetry. I was just pleasantly surprised and happy with the response to the, H.L. Mencken quotes. So... yeah. And see here. Do anything fun today?
Just a fire, bonfire.
Oh, that is nice. I like that. Did you roast marshmallows or weenies or anything?
Oh, no.
Just broke open like the rum chata or whatever. And actually, I do miss bonfires. yeah. You know what sounds really good? A nice summer night where you break open a cold beer and you sit by the bonfire and you just look at the stars. You know, that sounds like a good night. So, yeah. Sounds like a good time there, Rex. All right. Well, what was that?
The dog liked it.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Our dog liked that I brought home chicken from Quick Trip and shared it with them. Spoiled brats. But, yeah. Now, dogs are good company for, you know, when you want to be outside. I do think that sounds like a really nice night. I'm envious. I have to admit that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness gracious. Would you look at these two dingbats? Look at them trying to decide who's the Mac Daddy. Going to bang both their heads together. All right. And what do you say, Rex? You want to get this party of two started?
Yep.
All right. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. All right, so we are actually going to be starting the show with a SoundCloud, and this is O Mensch, Time Stays, We Go by Eric Svensson. And here we go. Let me find that. All right.
O Mensch, time stays, we go. When we've reeled with laughter peals, happiness pebble pond rippled us, or tears tripped each other up, sadness torrents sought burial in Mother Earth. When we've had our fill from life's golden chalice, deeply drank sweet perfumed wines, down days of dreg, endured defeats, tarty, tacit tastes. When we've gone above and beyond duty's call, ransacked heaven for strength and courage, or blindly mounted high energy stallions charge through moving mountain days. Only when we're content to put down life's chalice with grace and peaceful transcendence will we be ready to leave time behind, gladly go and heed eternity's mensch call. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. All right, Pam, what you got?
All right. Well, first of all, it was a wonderful read, and the SoundCloud was appreciated. I liked this. I had to look up the word mensch, which I found out is a person to look up to and to you know, want to emanate, to want to be like. And I thought that was really, really cool to learn a new word. You know, I like how this speaks on that idea of finding a higher spiritual plane. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this, the alliteration, especially deeply dank, sweet perfumed wine, down days of dread, and dear defeat's tartly tacit taste. I appreciate the line, sadness torrents sought burial in Mother Earth, and how we live this earthly life, and we struggle through it. That's what it speaks to me on, the struggle of this earthly life, and the idea that when we stop fighting that, when we stop fighting, you know, that and not a, like necessarily a war fight, but an inner struggle, an inner battle. You know, we learn to come at peace. I thought the way he wrapped it up was really nice. Only when we're content to put down life's chalice with grace and peaceful transcendence will we be ready to leave time behind, gladly go and heed eternity's mensch call. That idea of looking towards a higher purpose. And so just a wonderful write and very well done.
Nice. I'm going to give it to, for me, it reads like an answering call to do not go quietly into that good night. It kind of hits on that idea of, with Dylan Thomas, it's rage against the dying of the light. Do not go quietly into that good night. Do not give up on things. This is hits on the idea of Once having accomplished all that you roll into, you can go quietly into that good night because you have faced everything with integrity and courage, and you can look forward to something new on the other side.
I like that, and I think you made a really good point there about how it has that like an feel to an answer to don't go gently into the good night. So very cool. All right, ready for the next one?
Yep.
All right, up next we have The Cynic by Dammit Dave. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
The Cynic by Dammit Dave, and he took the quote. A cynic is a man who, when he smells flowers, looks around for a coffin. I like that. A cynic views the world through the eyes of a disappointed idealist who masquerades as a wise man, yet only finds the darkness in truth, the emptiness in joy, and the clouds that shroud the sun. He believes that life is not a battle between good and bad, but between bad and worse, and he has armed himself with the sword of sarcasm and the shield of mockery. He has relinquished the innocence of youth to the corruption of skepticism and mistrust, trading in his happiness for pessimism's misery. A cynic knows the price of everything but the value of nothing, and the cost is paid in the currency of melancholy and resignation, where cursing the darkness is preferable to gazing in awe at the starlit sky. And boom. What do you got? He won a couple. Also dropped in a scratch any cynic and you will find a disappointed idealist, George Carlin. And life, the way it really is a battle not between good and evil and bad, but between bad and worse by Joseph Brodsky. So he went with a trio.
Yes, yes. Well, those are quotes from different folks, and I like that he had those there. But the quote from our contest that inspired this was the one at the top. A cynic is a man who, when he smells flowers, looks around for a coffin. I thought he did a wonderful job with this. It's a beautifully written free verse poem. It's a wonderful depiction of what a cynic is, what their strengths and their weaknesses are, you know. And I really like how he says, who masquerades as a wise man and only finds the darkness and truth, the emptiness and joy in the clouds that shroud the sun. You know, the idea of somebody who thinks they know everything and yet they don't truly know happiness. Their self-fulfilled wisdom has not brought them happiness. I really like the imagery and the metaphors, and he has armed himself with the sword of sarcasm and the shield of mockery. He has relinquished the innocence of youth to the corruption of skepticism and mistrust. It really shows the psychology to me, and that's part of what I really like about this poem, the psychology behind the cynic and behind the cynic's self-defense, sword and the shield that they put up, and how they mock other people in order that their own flaws aren't as brightly shined upon. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Well, I got on that one because a cynic has seeded belief in anything, and he has armed himself with the sword of sarcasm and the shield of mockery, whereas normally you would arm yourself with the sword and shield of God, that which protects you at all times within your belief system. And since the cynic has no belief system, he takes that shield and sword as the idea between sarcasm and mockery, because he doesn't believe in anything and doesn't feel anybody else should either. So he mocks and he tosses out sarcastic verbiage to exalt himself.
I like that. I like that. Very cool.
All right. What's next?
All right. All right. And up next, we have The Pomification by Babbler. And it goes like this. Eruptions came in my prepubescent Pangaea, Lahar's curling family photographs as they roll onward, searing buttercups and bluebirds, sizzling baby fat, bearing bone. Pompeian memorials for fathers that never were, plasticized ideals and hollow embraces, pillars of salt bearing witness to a wasteland of once, clay vessel filled with ash, strewn across valleys, a black coat of rendered youth. Centuries pass over salt flats, scrubby brush and jackrabbits hanging on with withering fat, hypnotizing, hypothesizing on the taste of rain. When it falls, the lies will boil off, new heat tickling the edges of molten core, mixing and churning, tilling the valley for a spring long overdue. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Babbler took time stays, we go, and every man is his own hell. Okay. Well, kind of does hit on that, the thought of the eruptions in prepubescent Pangaea. Buttercups and blueberries, sizzling baby fat, bearing bone. Wow. It's a bit of a note text. Well, a kind of anger, but not really anger. It's almost it's a look back at what was, noting the debilitating angle of life in one's youthful memory. Pompeian memorials of fathers that never were. Wow. Plasticized ideals and hollow embraces, pillars of salt bearing witness to a wasteland of once. Pillars of salt bearing. Back to the thought of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back, turn into a pillar of salt and the wasteland of once. The needs there, but not getting anything that a kid would want in that environment, because it is hollow. It's not loving. It's kind of, it's dry, impartial, and almost to the point of, negligent. The fact that there's so little seen there that she kind of left her own devices, so to speak. And then centuries pass over small flats, scrubby brush and jackrabbits hanging on withering fat, hypothesizing on the taste of rain. Again, that look back to that thought of the emptiness of not being fed with love and caring, and still looking back to a point where would I be now if I had some of that back then, so to speak?
Yeah, I really like this. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. You know, I thought it was really cool that she used my prepubescent Pangaea, or however you pronounce that, the idea of the supercontinent that once was theorized to exist before all the continents separated. But I like how there's metaphors within this, but it's also an extended metaphor and a lot of great wordplay. Saponification being the separating of fat in order to make soap. And you see a few different ideas of soap making in here. You know, you see the idea of the sizzling baby fat, the separating of the fat from the continents, from the muscle and the bone. And then even the mention of ash, although, yeah, you're right, it is definitely an idea of looking back at that Sodom and Gomorrah, looking back at that wasteland, the reminiscing of what once was. It's also the idea of like when ash used to be mixed with lye to make the soap, and which was a great wordplay when she says the lies, when it falls, the lies will boil off. And so the L-I-E-S, but it also brings the idea of the lie, L-Y-E. But, yeah, I have to agree with you that this definitely has a strong look at looking, idea of looking back at what was and pondering over the everything that was in a way to make us what we have become. I did really like the new heat ticking the edges of a molten core, mixing and churning, tilling the valley for a spring long overdue. You know, I like that whole idea that it's no longer about, see, because that speaks to me on the idea that it's no longer about what other people and past experiences are going to make you, but what are you going to make yourself? So excellent write and very well done.
All right, what's that?
All right. And up next we have Damocles Knife by Pee Wee Kusin. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
All right. Damocles' Knife by Pee Wee Kusin. In abject strife they had held me through a life, goal you know is just to be, you've been. In an atrophied mind you hang like Damocles' knife, salvation denied, I'll ride into oblivion. Fragmented these kaleidoscopic memories I see, colors dance brightly in shimmering space. Greatly exaggerated thoughts meet reality and see, regret the things I had done for your face. Words once all passed so very freely through me, a different time and tide, a different way. In matters of mind, some words I'd like not repeat. How I've been, what I did for you that day. An everlasting winter, the grain now come and went. Life spent for precious cigarettes still spent. A halo of a facade, you standing there with heaven sent. All notches in a wall, what memories bent. I had contemplated it at least once before or again. If I saw you now, do you think I would do? Now, darling girl, out is calling me, and my only sin in autumn skies after life's fight for you. Serrated like a knife, my thoughts and saw never good. Again, there you stand, switch in your hand. Turn out the lights, throw the switch in charge. Inside a hood, the last I'd see was your vision. And poem. All right.
All right. Well, I tell you, great reads there, Rex. People are really bringing their A game with these writes, really bringing some, you know, words and phrases that I've had to look up. I learned that Damocles' knife is often used as a metaphor for the sword. Well, it's actually Damocles' sword, but Pee Wee turned it to knife. Is the idea of that how someone in power is always living beneath the sword, always just potential moments away from death. There's also a real person too, like I think a Roman leader. And but anyways, the idea that I got from this, the main idea, and I could be wrong, but it speaks to me on the whole idea of somebody who kills for God. Or either they actually are killing for God or they think they're killing for God. You know, maybe I am a little confused about now darling girl hour is calling me and my only sin. In the autumn skies after life sacrificed for you. Yeah, and that's where I kind of get the idea about the whole idea of killing for somebody who either is in a higher power. But I'm not quite sure what a girl hour is. It kind of sounds like happy hour with strippers or something. But anyways, I really like fragmented these kaleidoscopic memories. I see colors dance brightly in shimmering space. Greatly exaggerated thoughts meet reality in a sea. Regrets of things I had done for your face. You know, it feels like the idea of going into the mind of a sociopath or in the mind of a psychopath who has this grand sense of delusion, this, you know, or delusions of grandeur. That's what it seems like. And I think that's where the Demacle's knife comes in, is they see themselves below this sword because they see themselves as important. But it's really only a knife because they're not as important as they think they are. They're simply just insane. But anyways, that's my thoughts on it. I think it's just a really strong write and very well done.
Nice. All right. Let me see what I got. It's a haunting tale of what one is willing to give up in spite of their own morals. Salvation denied, all right into oblivion. There's that note. The thought of Damocles' knife is that knife that is held metaphorically at one's throat because you've ceded what you were because of what you thought you wanted or needed from her. Regret of things I've done to your face. How I've been, what I did for you that day. All notches in a wall thought memories bent. In autumn skies, afterlife sacrificed for you. All of these things done despite his better sense of self, the sacrifice and those ideas. She actually held the knife to his throat, even though it was his hand holding that knife itself. And the back end of this is swayed like a knife. My thoughts saw never good. Again, there you stand, switch in your hand. Turn out the lights, put the switch in charge. Inside a hood, last I see was your vision. The idea of somehow she's re-entered the bane of his existence. And now the knife is a little bit more, doesn't hold the same weight. He's calling forth the idea, you might as well kill me now because I can't do no more. I've had my fill.
Very cool. I like that. I like that whole idea of, you know, saying, you know, it's that the idea that the knife no longer holds the same weight.
It doesn't, because at the point, since he's holding the knife and it's her as the metaphor, he can't kill himself, so she might just as well pull the switch to the electric chair and have be done. Put my lights out.
Cool.
Yeah. What we got next?
All right. Up next, we have Moonshine Starlight by Betty Page. And it goes like this. Wishing upon stars, dreams of futures far away, sipping on moonshine. Tainted by absinthe, Moulin Rouge, floral swing ride, fairies start singing, waiting for my prince, riding limbo in comfort. Numb just like cocaine. Drinking pink champagne, popping pills, white Xanax bars, sleeping on somas, swirling pearl-white smoke, wax candles, drip bright rainbows, 60s lava lamps, glowing hot neon, pure black light velvet posters, psychedelic high, slow motion, running, rewind backwards, lost in time, search for new futures, end poem.
Great. Well, it's kind of a dip back to a more fluid time, but the bite in that once is the fourth stanza, drinking pink champagne, popping pills, white Xanax bars, sleeping on sofas. That's a kind of contradictory note, because, boy, can that be a wrong mixture to play with, because sometimes you might not actually wake up. But the idea of burning candle at both ends sits in that stanza. And then the back end of this is kind of looking back and seeing better times and wishing those times might be better than what is now envisioned. All right, what you got?
I like how Betty's poetry oftentimes feels nostalgic, and it's always a wonderful trip of imagery throughout. This feels definitely like the idea of going on that high, but you know, at the same idea of missing what once was. I really like the imagery in Tainted by Absinthe, Moulin Rouge, Floral Swing Notes, Fairy Start Singing. And I thought that was really clever with the putting the absinthe and the fairies together. I also like how she goes into the 1960s, swirling pearl-white smoke, wax candles, drip bright rainbows, 60s lava lamps. And, I couldn't help but smile at the idea of, when she mentions the pure black light velvet posters. And the rewind backwards, lost in time, search for new futures was a wonderful line speaking on that whole idea of trying to recapture that nostalgia. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. All right. Where are we going next?
All right. Up next, we have, that's the same poem. Don't want to put that up. Let me grab the next one. And where is it? Sorry. Gotta find it. There we go. All right. Up next, we have Ramblings of a Paranoid Gardener, the Cynic, by Time Teller. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
Ramblings of a Paranoid Gardener, the Cynic, by Time Teller. One day you'll say the word, name the play, and that 9:35 from Heathrow that passes every day will oblige the superstition and plummet onto you. It's not that every time you look upwards you see the fall, like a fear of ever reaching the summit. It's more the cognitive teachings of a fucked up theories and religions on how to be happy. Behind every smile is the torment of experience and the radar bat-like pilot that often flies in the dark. Coincidence is the enemy of common sense, especially when people use it as an excuse to make things happen. The Barbican torture cell has no paperless offices, and the minds of well-being and spirit gather cynically at its core. Paranoia, schizoid, or otherwise in mathematics of sensibility in a world of nonsense. Capricious spontaneity and just-do merchants have us all chasing our tails, fixing our spines. Don't say that or this, don't do that or that, because those that sit at the front during services will act like gods. Of course, saying that before they do is cynical. Yet, the auditorium of God changes its staff every so often, cynically speaking. Is that to prevent complacency and the influence of money and power becoming controlling? If I was cynical, I would say politics is run more by religion on a local community scale than by politicians. one way or the other, believe or no believe, values and life are run by such things. Use her to get to others that can help better, they say, and yet the voice is nondescript. The others might help, but will they invest any real time? The play, Watch Olive, or the cursed car that kills James Dean. Maybe some people are born in the boot of that Porsche. Cynicism is a healthy dose of smelling salts that wakes the fainted unconscious people manipulated by others whose idea of help is singing while the Titanic sinks and the Senate drowns while they, in full vibrato, are rescued by happy sailors. The planes drone and whine, rises in pitch as they open the throttle. A vapor trail follows, and a print of sandy beach with a hidden rowing boat among the dunes comes to mind. I wonder if Robinson Crusoe had a boat all along and chose not to use it. And so on.
Great read, Rex. This was awesome. You know, I really, it makes me think of a quote I saw today that, or it was actually kind of more like a meme, but it said, what's the difference between a conspiracy theory and the news? About 2 to 4 months. And, you know, this really made me think on the idea that, yeah, you know, and I could be wrong, that a cynic is someone who sees how truly messed up the world is before other people do. I really like, it's not that every time you look upwards you see the fall, like a fear of ever reaching the summit. It's more the cognitive teachings of fucked up theories and religions on how to be happy. I also like the use of the Barbican. The Barbican torture shell has no paperless offices, and the minds of well-being and spirit gather cynically at its core. I mean, this is just filled with wonderful, strong lines. A great look at the idea of the powers that control people through psychological control. You know, and that ending line really says it all. I wonder if Robinson Crusoe had a boat all along and chose not to use it. The idea that there is that our ability to help ourselves, to free ourselves from this, you know, mind control, and yet the refusal to wear it. I really like that he mentions that cynicism is a healthy dose of smelling salt that wakes the fainted unconscious people manipulating by others whose idea of help is singing while the Titanic sinks. And I thought that was a wonderful reference. And, you know, obviously there wasn't much else that musicians could have done in the real, you know, because we all know that in real life the musicians played while the boat was going down. But it's a great metaphor for that idea of people who just watch society sink and do nothing but sing about it, you know. So excellent write and very well done.
That's because those people don't care if it goes down. They're resigned to death itself, which kind of points back to the idea of holding belief in people rather than holding belief in yourself. Because T.T. Rolston, that's the ramblings of a paranoid gardener, the cynic. But the only one, there's no real cynicism in this, so to speak. Just the obvious note to that you're pointing out the fallacy in what's going on. Yes, people are labeling you as the cynic. So she's offering herself up as the paranoid gardener, which is also another term that gets tossed at you, but you're not really paranoid if you can see the trees for the forest, while others don't see the forest because of the trees. The idea, well, is it paranoid, schizoid, or otherwise, is the mathematics of sensibility in a world of nonsense, capricious spontaneity, and just-do merchants that have us all chasing our tails, fixing our spines. Don't say that or this, don't do that or that, because those that sit at the front doing services will act like gods. Of course, saying that before they do is cynical. Now, that's the idea. If you don't follow along the same vocal patterns and ideology, you get pointed out as being paranoid, schizophrenic, cynical, or, you're just plain bigoted. So the idea of on that last line is, one of Robinson Crusoe had a boat all along and chose not to use. The obvious thought being, yeah, I'm a lot happier here on this island by myself with Tuesday, because on Friday, because it's a lot less stressful. I'm happier. I've got food. I've got warm. I've got beach. I've got water. What more do you need than that?
Absolutely. I like that. I like that. I like that thought there. And it makes so much sense. You know, this crazy world, I honestly think sometimes I'd like to run away to a deserted island. So, very cool. All right. And up next, we have Where Darkness Grows by Arcana Amore. And we do have a SoundCloud for that. So, and this is a pre-write but that he put on the board, but it goes with prompt 12. So here we go.
Blackened seas of stormy clouds that cloak the skies within their shrouds, as midnight falls in twilight pools unto sleeping spirits, the nighttime calls. Black as the raven, black as coal, in banter black streams that swim your soul, drowning the light within their pitch, dragged into depths of a darkened ditch. Through obsidian veils are haunting tales that gust through minds in ebony gales. They descend at night, by pale moonlight, in deep dark thoughts that blind all sight. Black as obsidian, black as a widow, that wade through dreams upon each pillow, invading the nightmares of fallen hopes, in sliding descent down slippery slopes. From sinister deeds, the heart recedes, that grow from seeds of shady needs. Though night is dark, so cold and stark, it waits to hark the dawn's remark. Black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, blacker than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows.
Arcana, thank you for the SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. All right, Ann.
All right. Well, first of all, wonderful recording there. As always, he does a great performance. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I have to look what prompt 12 was. I'm so curious because I actually am completely forgetting. 8, 9, 10. Every normal man must be tempted at times, spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin slitting throats. Ah, I should have known it was that one. All right. Oh, wonderful imagery throughout. Black as a raven, black as coal, and vanta black streams that swim your soul. Drowning the light within their pitch, dragged into depths of a darkened ditch. I like how this takes a look at, you know, it takes a look at the hell within the mind. And the idea of even a literal hell. From sinister deeds that heart receives, that grows from seeds of shady needs. Though night is dark, so cold and stark, it waits to hark the dawn's remark. Yeah, I like those lines because it kind of speaks on the whole idea of the balance between light and dark, the idea of the light pushing the darkness away. And, this is a wonderful epic rite, great imagery. Great idea of those things that lay beyond the veil, lay beyond the shadows, those things that we only see in our dreaming mind, or, you know, in that mind that's half between being awake and half between being asleep, you know, that you're caught in that in-between, that veil. So excellent right, and very well done.
Nice, but I go a little deeper than that. This walk's a whole lot darker. Blackened seas, stormy clouds, cloak, shrouds, twilight's pall, midnight falls, nighttime calls, and black as raven, black as coal, vanta black. Within their pitch, again, black, then darkened ditch, obsidian, ebony, pale, black as obsidian, black as a widow. Again, darkness. Descent down slippery slopes. Again, more darkness. Sinister. Everything reeks of darkness. Shady. Dark. Stark. Hark. Remark. The whisper of feet on cobblestone streets. Cold. That dawn's remark. It kind of hits me with the thought of waking up the next day to see what comes with the morning news. This kind of walks in that tone of what Jack the Ripper might feel roiling in his mind while he's out butchering, and to find the next day how it's treated in the news. And the last one, black as black holes that swirl in space, swallowing stars to devour their grace. Black as oblivion, black than crows that dwell in the shadows where darkness grows. It walks right into that that notion of someone who's swirling within his own temporal vortex of bleak atmosphere and the need to pillage and demolish.
Yeah, that's a really cool thought. I like that. I can see that connection. Between, you know, such a serial killer like Jack the Ripper and the imagery and the thoughts pertained within the rite. And, right. Up next, we have Honor by Ernest. And it goes like this. The history is showing us that when the people have divided their work, their lives have started to improve progress. The whole society has always gained. And splitting their activities has made the persons more connected and has shown the need of good communication so they could exchange the goods that they have made. Exchanging information in a way that is effective and can help demands that those who are in contact trust each other, such honesty respecting their word. Show honesty respecting their word. Each time when somebody is acting fairly, it is advantageous for everybody, as brings well-being and security for all those who are living around him. End poem.
Great read. Honor is simply the morality of superior men. There is a note to honor in this. As long as the progression is moved forward, because once you offer up greed into the equation, honor goes out the window. So it all works on a simple singular system. It's the idea of barter. What you trade, what you make for that which you want, instead of wanting more out of life. And the idea is that you have something that is worth offering up as that traded mode for that which you want, which might be more of the same material, so to speak. But it does walk a path where you're trading part of yourself for what you need to subsist. So the idea is there is honor in that, as opposed to taking everything out of what you get, and in the meantime, that product itself diminishes.
There, Rex. You know, I like this one because it's an answer poem. I like that Ernest looked at this quote, and, you know, because it's very much a biting and sarcastic quote. Honor is simply the morality of superior men. And he answered, at least in my vision, my view, he answered the idea of, no, honor is more than that. You know, honor is your word given. It's helping each other. It's when you my stepmother, when I was in high school, she used to say, you say what you mean and you mean what you say. And once you make a promise, you do everything you can not to break it. So don't make promises lightly. And that's, you know, and there's that message in here. Now, I do think, now, I don't disagree with the quote, but neither do I disagree with Ernest. I think, and in my opinion, that honor is what the person makes of it, because there is such a thing. And because honor, like any other idea, can be tainted. It can be tainted by those people who will protect the family name, who will protect, you know, shove the skeletons in the closet, you know, not let the word get out about who's diddling who, you know, because they want to protect the family name, because they want to protect the family honor. And that's where it comes in with the idea of honor is the morality of a superior man. But with Ernest's idea, it's the thought that honor is something that we should all maintain, and for the right reasons. So, you know, wonderful, thoughtful, right, and very well done.
All right, where are we going?
All right, up next we have To House It. All right, let me click on that title before I attempt to read it. To House It Going at a Particular Moment by Self Rising Mojo. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
So How's It Going at a Particular Moment by Self Rising Mojo. Older is falling asleep at an hour the night. Wait, let's start again. Older is falling asleep at an hour the night used to still be starting, and getting up is too early for the light. outside to do much more than take its time, rolling your eyes in the beta waves of being awake. If the seat you have taken is a glider facing a glass door, you know by now it is raining a day in September, in December. Trees you can see are unbuttoned sleeves on assemblies of a cloud they pass down the side of the mountain, where it's placed on a conveyor like a running starter river on its way to why the sky turns true north. Of course, it could just as easily be five birds giving their own 2 cents worth on the dime of how the bottom drops like the warm fuzz lying south for the winter. And boom. Okay. Wasn't expecting that. That was different. Just to fold into
I enjoyed
that,
this one. Oh, what was that? Yeah. Did you ask?
The fold into one thought after another. The thought of falling asleep to start up with, and getting up is too early for the light outside to do much more than take its time, rolling your eye. Kind of hitting on the idea of in between, because it does hit on the beta waves. And then the glider facing a glass door, you know by now it's raining. Kind of almost a roll through, random thought like dreams. You pass from one little phase into the next, into the next, into the next. They all fold into each other, but none of them seem to have a cohesive or connective trace yet. They follow a particular role of thought within the dream, and then you're left the next day. You're trying to figure out what the hell was all that about, because it runs on the back end of it. Like the warm fuzz of the thought flies south to the winter. And you kind of, all right, I knew where it started, but I have no idea where it ended. And everything in between was kind of a muddle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I like how he, I like Self-Rising Mojo's writing and how one thought, as you said, seamlessly flows into the next. And I like how this takes a look at aging and, how the differences that time can make. I had to laugh because there was someone who made this comment. Well, that makes me feel kind of young. Just kidding. I have developed the awful habit of going to bed at 2 a.m. and starting the day far too late. I can really relate to that, but, my goodness, it's not like when you're younger. I stay up till 2 a.m. nowadays, and I'm just feel like I've gone through a boxing round. And, I like the imagery and metaphors in this. I really like if the seat you have taken is a glider facing a glass door, by now it is raining a day in December. Trees you can see unbuttoned sleeves on assemblers of a cloud that pass down the side of the mountain where it's placed on conveyor like a running start of river. Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful imagery and a wonderful look at how our perspective changes, and our perspective on winter or the winter time of our lives changes as it gets ever closer. So excellent write and very well done.
Where to next?
All right. Up next we have Here and Now by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a recording for that one. So here we go.
Here and now, I have a measure of control. The past is distant, clouded in a grey mist. But from that dank miasma, tendrils creep, not allowing the weakness of forgetfulness. There are distant screams, felt, not heard. Man's inhumanity cannot simply be ignored. If I took a step forward into tomorrow, there would be no turning back for me. Remembrance of the horrors perpetrated, in the name of religion, power, stupidity, or monetary gain must end, be made right, so we may face the next generation and say, here is your future.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much for clarifying. It was much appreciated. All right, Pam, what you got?
I really like this one by Weaver. I feel like with this one, she really brought forth punches and didn't hold back. Strong imagery, wonderful look at, she wrote to the quote, "We are here and it is now. Further than that, all human knowledge is moonshine." I really like the use of the word miasma, which is becoming one of my new favorite words. But from that dank miasma, tendrils creep, not allowing the weakness of forgetfulness. There are distant screams felt, not heard. Man's inhumanity cannot simply be ignored. And the idea, and I like how deeply she gets into this idea, the idea that the inhumanity's done, the horrors done in the name of religion and power, and then the final punch, stupidity or monetary gain must end, be made right, so we face the next generation and say, here is your future. You know, if we don't want to do it for ourselves, if we don't want to make the world a better place for ourselves, we need to do it for future generations and end this idea of violence and war done in the name of religion, power, and stupidity. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Nice. All right. I got some stop time. Here and now I have a measure of control. Well, that's kind of a cynical note in and of itself to start with. The past is distant, crowded in gray mist, but from the dank mass of tendrils creep, not allowing the weakness of forgetfulness. And that kind of hits on the back end of if one does not remember the past, they are doomed to repeat it in the future, which is kind of where we're sitting. The thought of man's inhumanity is that steadfast notion tripping forth, because you will always find someone who is willing to tread on the thoughts of morality because they feel themselves imbued to be that that conquistador, that fascist foe, that elitist that knows everything, wants everything, and will take everything. Remembrance of the horrors, they're still here. Unfortunately, if there is to be a future to hand over, first we must get rid of the corrupt entities that are making this almost impossible, because I remember, Reagan, we are but one generation away from what would be a communist state, or that which is under the guise of full authoritarianism, and God damn it, we're pretty close to that now. And it seems the younger generation are actually, do that. The state will pay for everything. Yeah, unfortunately, once you give it, you don't get nothing back. And they don't pay for everything, except they'll dig a large grave and throw in a few thousand at a time.
Oh, absolutely. You make a really good point there of, you know, people think that you get something for free and don't eventually end up paying for it in one way or another. So, great comment. All right. And very cool thought shared there, Weaver. All right, let's see what we got next. All right. All right, up next we have Fractal Unique by Thomas B. And go ahead, Rex. And oh, wait. It was
Fractal
my turn.
Unique? Thomas It is all in a fingerprint. The chance of another like it melts on my tongue just like the snowflakes twisting in the morning light, falling upon yesterday's sudden ice. The fabric of the night sky weaves moonlight, promises prediction because stars never set, only hide behind the sun's ego. Everything we knew in high school has been squandered on maybes we thought were guaranteed, just like on TV. Makeup commercials, everything you need is found in a 1999 special, this day only. Tomorrow, landfill. Footprints only show where you've been. All the data used to find where you are so they can find a way to entice you into serving their best interests. My friends talk about how they can't meditate. They can't sit still. Their thoughts race. It's downhill from there. It begins on a breath, and then you get distracted. You bring yourself back. Follow the breath. Thoughts take flight like birds. Why? Begin again. Here is the heart of meditation, the willingness not to quit. Keep trying. Allow yourself to empty and begin again. You follow your, in this moment, it is all you are, and tomorrow will only happen if you can live today. And poem. All right. What you got?
I was so glad that Tom was inspired to write for this because he had commented on the contest that he had read this guy's writing and he was like one of his favorite editorials. So wonderful imagery and metaphors. He wrote the same quote that Weaver did. And, you know, I really liked this all the way through, and I like how it takes a look at how the idea of, to me anyways, it takes a look at the idea of trying to buy happiness. You know, just like on TV, makeup, infomercials, everything you need is found in a 1999 special, this day only. And I like how he separates the two parts, and by the words tomorrow and landfill, you know, like what you think is your treasure for today is nothing more than garbage that you'll later be tossing away. I really particularly like the whole stanza that says, my friends talk about how they can't meditate, they can't sit still, their thoughts race, it's downhill from here, it begins on a breath, and then you get distracted. You bring yourself back, follow the breath, thoughts take flight like birds, why? Begin again. The willingness to not quit, keep trying, allow yourself to empty and begin again. And I like how this whole, it's not only like taking a look at actual meditation, but it's taking a look at how we really need to learn to empty our lives of that extra clutter, that stuff that we don't need in order to really live for the day. So excellent to write and very well done.
Nice. All right. I guess it starts with that first line. It is all in a fingerprint. The chance of another like it melts on my tongue. Ease in that because every snowflake is different. Offering up that point, the finger, each fingerprint is different. And then that last line, falling upon yesterday's sudden ice. The idea of looking back and getting caught on that notion and slipping into something that which isn't anymore. The fabric of the night sky weaves moonlight, promises prediction, because stars never set, only hide behind the sun's ego, a kind of a, also a point to oneself. Everything we knew in high school, dreams squandered on maybes we thought were guaranteed, just like on TV. Sort of, and everything is promised to you because of the advertising, the note to tickling one's mind. Like tomorrow landfill, yes, the stuff that gets thrown away because it only had a singular purpose in the moment. Footprints only show where you've been, but they can easily be wiped away. The data, the way to entice you instead in their best interest, the high-minded angle of walking a strict protocol. And I thought about not being able to meditate because everything that's rolling in the head, that is again, you gotta do this. time wasted is a time never attained, so to speak. The idea of not being able to chill in the moment and let something spill in naturally. And if you let your mind go that way, you're always in a frenzy, and that's the point. You get distracted, and then the unwillingness of trying to actually get there, you give up, just like going on a diet. I'm not losing any weight. It's only been a week. So what? I should have already lost 10 pounds. It don't work that way. And then the back end, you follow your fingerprints. In this moment, it is all you are, and tomorrow, again, that point, being a singularity instead of a hive-minded force. That way, if you are living as yourself singularly instead of as a motif surrounded, then you can actually live.
Wow. That was a very thorough analysis of that poem there, Rex. Very cool. All right. Up next, we have We Come and Go. Sandy G. I wish we had spoken more of life when we were young, lingered on the lessons learned and the comforts richly won, recalled the many toasts we sung, the native anthems proudly rung, laughed with eyes once more alive before our day of life had run. End poem.
Great read. Again, that thought to running headlong through. But this kind of hits on the back end of this of, I wish I knew then what I know now, what I know now. The idea of learning but not learning and still doing the same thing and forgetting those tidbits of lessons that slap you upside the face, only to be doing it again. And the ease of youth in running through instead of actually taking the time to live and breathe in the moment rather than hitting on this, that, and everything else in between. What about you?
You should grab a drink of water. I think this is just an absolutely wonderful brevity. It has great rhyme and flow. I like what you had to say about how it has that feel of, you know, the idea of wishing I know now, knew then what I know now. There's something about this poem, even though it doesn't directly say it, it kind of makes me think of soldiers at war. And I know that sounds really weird, but it makes me almost like the idea and the images came in my head that of two veterans, you know, talking about those youthful times and being at the end of their lives. So it really works for any scenario. I mean, it can be any two people, friends, a married couple, you know, even complete strangers sitting at a bus stop talking. You know, and I think actually this is a perfect poem for the idea of the new year coming up and the idea of, as you were saying, looking back on life. And I really like that the line, this all the way through, but especially recall the many toasts we sung, the native anthems proudly rung. And I think maybe that was the part, the native anthems probably rung, that made me think of the idea of veterans. But, you know, the idea of how important life is, how important, you know, we never have a true appreciation for the gifts of life until it's too late. So excellent write and very well done. And... do you feel like you can read the next poem there, Rex?
Yep.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Up we have Denying Nothing by S. Sharp. And go ahead, Rex.
Denying Nothing by Scott Sharp. I am a man, a fraud, a poet. Words wrap around mountains, flow down rivers, as I sit at seaside with my bare feet in the icy flow. I am a man, a fraud, a philosopher, waxing on about all that I know. Words dribble, drool upon my shirt, incoherent, I blather wherever I go. I am a man, a fraud, an artist, colors blast out of my mind, abstract, detached. It is a lonely road that I hoe. And poem, what do you got now?
All right. Great read, Rex. I always enjoy and appreciate Scott's writing. He wrote, I think he was one of the first ones to take prompt 4, which is all men are frauds. The only difference between them is that some admit it. I myself deny it. And I like that, that Scott takes the point of view of from a poet, an artist, and the idea that we oftentimes our art and our thoughts and our poetry are things that are made up, that don't necessarily, that we create stories for others to view. I like the repetition that he has, where he always says, I am a man, a fraud, a poet, a philosopher, an artist. You know, all of these are people who make a living of being some sort of fraud or another. I mean, and you know, because philosophy even itself, it's a banquet of theories. I mean, there are so many different philosophies out there that you're basically grabbing a hold of one and saying, this is the truth, when really it's just simply your truth. I really like the imagery in words wrap around mountains, flow down rivers, and colors blast out of my mind, abstract, detached. I like that he uses the word detached, almost like the idea of not having that emotional connection between the artist and the art, or the artist and the rest of the world. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. I'm going to go with The Traveling Showman, the minstrel, the one who entertains. And in that, he can be everything. So he is a fraud. He is a man, he is a fraud, but he is a poet in one opportunity, a philosopher in another, and an artist in another. So he really isn't denying anything or nothing at all, because he is everything and nothing all at once. So it works, because he is offering something at each little juncture, which gets him food and lodging for the evening, and maybe a little pay as well.
I like that. Everything and nothing at once. Full observation meet on the idea of a traveling minstrel. Very cool. All right. And up next we have Menschken by Keith Palethorpe. Keith Palethorpe. Sorry, I butchered that. Even the most simple problem has a complex of solutions that are clear, simple, and uniformly wrong. Democracy is the worst system in the world, but for the others, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, a time rather like the present. All happy families are alike, each sad family is sad in its own way. If you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs, you may have missed the memo. Those who are ignorant of history are doomed to invade Afghanistan and Ukraine. When in doubt, yodel. End poem.
Yodel, lo, lo, lady. Yeah, need a mountain for that. I like the bite. It was the best of times. It was worth the time. Opening to a well-famous book. I can't remember what it was. Oh, damn it. Anyway,
cities.
Yes. And then again, if you can keep your head while all those about you are losing theirs, another famous quote there. And now I like the thought, those who are ignorant of history are doomed to invade Afghanistan and Ukraine. Boy, that hasn't been done but once, maybe twice in a few thousand years. Yeah, maybe 100 times. And each time it's never worked out for those who've done it. Damn failure. Always 20-year problem. And the idea, democracy, hit on that right, yes, because democracy is the worst system in the world. If you're running on pure democratic notes, where the most get to decide what everybody else does, while the least have to swallow that note of pride. That's why, well, we're not really a democracy. We're a republic. Everything's got to be done a certain way. Pure democracy kind of does walk down that line. All you need is 51 out of 100, and you know what? That's the way it goes. The other 49 are butt fucks, plain and simple. But he's not right, wrong in that area. And he's right up top. There's always a complex of solutions. And usually when it comes to the simple, you can't have a simple. Why? Because there's always too much money to throw at a simple problem, thereby making it a worse problem, thereby at the back end of things, hey, I know we had a simple problem, we threw money at it, made it worse, but we've got the solution to make sure the worst problem goes back to being simple again, and that just makes it worse on top of worse. So I do like the thought of, if you're going to yodel, you better find a nice mountain valley away from the madding crowd.
But I like this. It's what I would refer to as a found poem. I think that's what people call it. Because what he's basically done is he's taken quotes from different sources. Like a couple of the first two are related to the H.L. Mencken quotes. For every complex problem, there is an answer that is clear, simple, and wrong. And the other quote that I think he gave a nod towards is, democracy is a theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. And I thought that was really cool, because you could tell that he either already knew the subject, or he just, did his research. I thought there was clever wordplay in this, like how he used the word mensch, but did menschkin, like he combined mensch and munchkin. At least to me, that's what it seems like. And the idea that this person to look up to is really actually, this ideal to look up to is actually rather small and insignificant. But I like how he puts together these different quotes, these different thoughts, and combines them to make them their own. I did like the humor in this, and especially in those end lines. Those who are ignorant of history are doomed to invade Afghanistan and Ukraine, and when in doubt, yodel. I think that actually is really good advice. When in doubt, yodel. So, very cool. All right. And up next we have Camel Toes by Julie Buck. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read for us, please.
Camel Toes by Julie Buck. Bethlehem bounds, the mild-mannered dromedary welcomes tagalongs upon her single camel's hump. The journey will be slow. The desert sand is lonely. Carnelia turns her golden neck, looks at her friends and smiles. Greetings all. Jack Black Rabbit, sir. Hello, Mr. Foxworthy. Hail to Little Mousetrap. And yo to Lady Bird atop my head. I cordially receive y'all as my companions. We will follow the star leading us to a soon-to-be-born savior and king. Or you can fucking bail out of this sand trap and visit a little hideaway I know of. Palm trees and gardens, puddles of booze, fresh water and shade, and the babes, oh, the babes are not wrapped in swaddling either. These three wise men are expecting me, but I live to be a liar and a fraud. Don't care about guilt built or all around my deceit, for I know what I am, and I choose to party down, and baby Jesus can suck it. I can no longer convince myself that I am out. I can no longer convince myself that I'm cut from gracious cloth. No matter, we'll still be praising the lovely tropical paradise that God has already made. No more will I save water for when I'm thirsty. I will drink without any need to satisfy before what eventually I will crave. In his own image, let us play. Meanwhile, let's traverse to the right and follow the margaritas off three signs this way. And boom.
Oh, man, great read there, Rex. This one was funny. I really like how her tag for this is camel on the way to welcome the newborn king, but chooses to change course for some party time with babes not wrapped in swaddling. Oh, man. And, you know, this is great. I like when somebody takes a well-known story and turns it on its head, you know, and the voice of the camel and the wordplay with camel toes, spelling toes, T-O-W-S, I thought was just absolutely fabulous. Greetings all, Jack Black Rabbit, Sir Hello, Mr. Foxworthy, hail to Little Mousetrap, and yo to Lady Bird atop my head. I cordially receive you all as my companions. I like the attitude she brings in this. It's a fun storyline, great sense of humor. Choose to party down and baby Jesus can suck it. I can no longer convince myself that I am cut from gracious cloth. It's fun. And at the same time, it just makes a wonderful statement on just being yourself, you know, so. Excellent write and very well done.
Nice. I like that. Hello, Mr. Foxworthy. Kind of bite through to a Jeff Foxworthy. Know you're a redneck if you're on the way to Bethlehem, but you'd rather be at the Chicken Ranch in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
That's kind of where this went, the playoff of the his traveling troupe of comedians. This is probably something they could work out real well as a skit, a performance. What do they call them? Oh man, I can't remember what the hell it was. Oh, what's his name? Larry the Cable Guy and Company.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's so funny. I labeled Larry the Cable Guy cracks me up.
Oh, I was listening to him before he got famous. He used to be on the Billy Bob and Johnny show down in Florida. I was listening to him in Florida back then, but I think they were nationwide at the time. That was before he became famous. He was on all the time cracking jokes. I used to hear Gear Done before. I even saw it as a movie or heard him on the doing his comedy shtick. God, that's going back to the 80s.
Oh, my Big gosh, that is awesome. Yeah. And I'd like to welcome Felon to the show. Welcome, Felon. Glad you could join us.
Unmute.
Are you on mute?
Oh. Maybe she dropped already.
No,
can you hear me?
Drop.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I think I heard
you.
Yeah.
There you is.
Yeah, it's earphones. I think they've met their are pushing up daisies now. I don't think they're
earphones but, are pushing up daisies. I like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Augusta, Georgia for 10 weeks. I think it is for training. So.
Woo-hoo.
Oh! Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's gonna.
I'm in a nice
busy
car.
Woo-hoo.
They putting you up in a nice place.
Yes, very. It's on the it's right here where they do the golf. You know, the where it is down here. The PGA golf.
Masters. Oh yeah, you're close up to the Masters. Okay.
Where they do the Masters exactly? I'm at the Marriott there. Super nice. Super nice.
Be a good view looking at that golf course and all those magnolias and everything else.
You got a view of the lake or the little lake they got out here. So yes, it's beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see a write from you on the board, Felon. Are you calling in just to help with reads and comments?
That's all I'm doing, honey.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Just double checking.
Okay.
That's a hell of a training course.
Do what?
10 weeks. That's a hell of a training course.
Oh, it is. It's a big job. So I'll tell you about it later. Rex, you'll be very happy.
Cool. Well, as long as you're smiling doing it, that's a good thing.
And we'll get rich. I'm going to get rich, but be happy.
Well, that's the reason to smile.
Right. Yay.
Hallelujah. I found my feet.
Whoop, whoop.
All right, ma'am. Where are we going?
All right. Up next, we have History's Future by Sarah Evans. And Felon, will you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. And this is History's Future by Sarah Evans. And her quote was off of quote number 2, "We are here and it is now. Further than that, all human knowledge is moonshine." And it goes like this. Tomorrow's eventually is the like dark side of the moon, as warped as a vision as gazing into the back of a spoon, or stirring muddy water seeking transparency when all we have is the screenshot of today's reality. We can try sending the flares to find a pathway from disaster, to weave a willow dance along hand to hand, we'll make it faster. The backdrop we have created leaves history's portrait smiling, the list of the future stands before us, its pattern wings beguiling, end coin.
Great read, Phil. Thank you very much. All right, ma'am.
Yeah, great read there, Felon. I really like this one. It had wonderful rhyme and flow, strong imagery. I really like the imagery and the metaphors, or stirring muddy waters, seeking transparency when all we have is the screenshot of today's reality. You know, I like how that takes a look at the futility of trying to find transparency in, like, on screens, like, you know, and in social media. You know, you're never going to find that transparency there. I also like to weave a willow dance along, hand-to-hand will make it faster. This backdrop we have created is history's portrait smiling. This one feels like another one of those that's about learning our lesson from history, from the past, and in hoping to make the future a better place. And, how oftentimes we fail to do so. So excellent write and very well done.
All right. Thank you, Pam. And, Phil, you got to read it. How about you?
I echo some of what Pam states, but what really stands out to me is the insanity of what we do is when we try to – we do the same things over and over and we expect, different outcomes. It's, you know, basically, like what they say here, are stirring muddy waters, seeking transparency, thinking that they're going to turn those muddy waters, you know, that nastiness and the funk, and they're going to get what they want, the clarity they want. They're not going to get it. And the screenshot the screenshot is that of reality. That's today. It's what it is what it is. You know, you can do whatever, but at that moment you take that shot, that's what you got. You get nothing more. And it says, and I like here, it says the backdrop we have created leaves history's a portrait smiling. Basically, it's history from the dialing of others. You know, it was all the charming deception. And that's what I got from it, because that's what it is. You know, just like trying to change the biology of human, you know, of man, gender and this and that. It is what it is. You can't change that, but you can. It is okay to have other visions of yourself. Just sometimes you just can't change what things are, and no matter how much there is, it is what it is. That's what I got from it.
Nice. Thank you. All right, I'm going to go with that. I like the thought up top. A warp vision, as warped a vision as gazing into the back of a spoon, or tomorrow's eventually like a dark side of the moon, something elusive in the moment, or stirring muddy water seeking transparency. And that never happens. But the last line in that second stanza, when we all we have is a screenshot of today's reality, that bites at that. When you've got that wrapped into your mind, then there's no thought to what the future might hold, because you're stuck in that singularity of a screenshot. The thought of sending up flares really doesn't, because you can't beg for help if you're not willing to dig yourself out of your own disaster. The backdrop leaves history's portrait smiling. Well, yeah, because you're following the same path. And the pattern wings beguiling. It's on that notion of the illusions within the illusion. So it's beguiling, and it might be something that's pretty at the moment, but you know what? If you ain't changing yourself, you ain't changing the future. All right, Pam, back to you.
All right. Up next, we have Sober Thoughts on Monkeys and Men by Kenny W., and it goes like this. I'm the king of the walkers, a pavement VIP. I'm stuck down here, and now it's clear I got to get up that tree. Like that goddamn monkey who's just swinging around. He's stuck up there. It ain't fair. He wants to get to the ground. Over millennia, we'll swap pet places. I'll be up there looking down. The ape will be shopping in Tesco's. I won't be able to rescue. I'll be up monkeying around. There ain't really much between us, descending down, ascending up, top of tree or bottom. Nothing's ever quite good enough. Sing, ooby-doo, do I really want to be like you? The monkey said to me, now from the base of the tree, and I had to kind of agree. Maybe the monkey was right, not me. Though the Beatles, not the monkeys, wrote, let it be. As a human, that's good enough for me. So sing, ooby-doo. And take the last train to Clarksville. Hey, hey. End poem.
Very Pam, thank you very much. Belle, what do you think?
I like this because it's sort of like saying, you know, what they say, like they say, keep wearing that and it might come back in style. That's how things basically repeat, history does repeat itself. And that, you know, like the millennials or whatever, they're a little different than we are. And we don't really see eye to eye in our views and our takes in life and our sensitivities or how we actually respond to things are totally different. Yet as they evolve into later in life, they'll evolve to more like us and become more not so set in what the trend is or what it is. And they're going to be, you know, the monkeys going to want to come down from the tree eventually, and we're going to want to go up it. You know, our views are always changing, and that we can never, you can't always say this is how you're going to be forever, that you'll never change your mind about anything, because change is in all of us. So that's what I gathered from it, and I really enjoyed it. And I like how he also ended it. He says, though the Beatles and not the monkeys wrote, I let it be. As humans, that's good enough for me. I like that because basically saying you can monkey around, but, you know, let it be is, you know, just a bug around. I liked it. Enjoyed it.
Nice. Thank you, Belle. All right, Pam?
Yeah, this one made me smile. I enjoyed it. And he wrote to the prompt, it is hard for the ape to believe he descended from man. As soon as I read that first stanza, I did immediately think of the song from the Jungle Book, Ooh, Ooh, I Want to Be Like You. And so, I mean, that was, it's just great how he captured that. I mean, you know, then that first stanza at first, I thought it was going to be a song parody, but then I realized I checked and the other lines were not quite fitting, but I like that it fit with the whole theme of the song, and he turned it on its head. I love the humor in this. I like that he ended with hey, hey, like with hey, hey, we're the monkeys, you know, and the idea that, you know, we're bringing ourselves back around to where life has become so complex, being human has become so overwhelming. The idea of getting back up to those trees is looking a little more favorable. You know, so wonderful humor, great lines, and very well done.
Nice. All right. I think the bite comes near the end. Whereas, there ain't really much between us, descending down, descending up, top of the tree or bottom. Nothing's ever quite good enough. And that's the point. It doesn't matter whether you're the ape or the human. At times you want to climb the tree because you want to be on top of everything. And then you want to get back down because you actually want to be grounded in the moment. So that's kind of hits on that note. But I did like the thought, the back end of this was funny. Maybe the monkey was right, not me. So the Beatles, not the monkeys, wrote Let It Be. As a human, that's good enough for me. So sing Ooby-Doo and take that last train to Clarksville. Hey, hey, the last train to Clarksville. Nice touch to finish. Kind of gives you that notion of, you know what? You might want to get out of town on a rail. It's kind of a strange little bird here right now.
I like that. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Up next, we have Habromania Hydromania. And Rex, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Habromania Hydromania by Luke J. R. Do you ever get that feeling there's a smile between your walls? It's not a question of whether you're able to understand. It's a delayed delivery in the context of two walls between you. Two fading eyes awaken, the yawn falls silent into the night. Stepping out from the blanket of fears, vessel emerges. Within each reflection, there's a half-empty glass. Emergence. Within the glass are fingerprints. Emergency. Unstoppable hydration. Water flows into the body. There's no time to swallow, no time to consume. Within dryness, there's a shadowless mushroom. Within minutes, there's flashing lights of blue hues. Two fading eyes closing. The yawn falls silent into the night. Blankets lay out on the floor, no question in sight. While all answers have been filed into a document, there's a visionary tale that there was once a soul. Do you ever get the feeling that there's smiling faces around you? It's not a question of whether you're able to answer. It's a delayed communication between two walls. Within seconds, a shadow emerges on the darkest wall. Witnesses weren't around within the time frame. While the frame held the picture on the wall, it was clear. Within a reflection, a fraction of time, hands moved together. Within the final hour, a soul was taken from the shower. And boom. All right, Pam.
All right. Great read there, Rex. I like when Luke uses unique words for his titles. It's always cool to learn something new. I knew what hydromania was, basically, but I had to look up habromania, which is a form of insanity where the person is happy because they're delusional. I like how this takes a look at sadness and despair and the idea of how we almost find this kind of familiarity and happiness within our despair because, you know, it's what we know. I really like the imagery in two fading eyes awaken, the yawn falls silent into the night, stepping out from the blanket of fears, vessel emerges within each reflection. There's a half-empty glass, emergence within the glass are fingerprints, emergency. You know, it feels like the idea of someone who drinks, you know, and, you know, I like the reference to the, you know, break glass in case of emergency and the idea of drinking away our sorrows, breaking open that glass, you know, in order to drown those sorrows that come to us at nighttime. when everything feels so alone. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Phil, how about you?
I like the actual title in itself, like Pam stated. Reading it, how it starts out, really does start off the first word in the title, Ivermania, because it's about the slight hallucinates of ourselves. You know, you're stuck between that wall between happiness and sadness, or not knowing really still you don't know really what you are. And then he goes into the glass of water, and you know, hydromania is the fear of suicide by drowning. By just drinking a glass of water, he's a fear that he's going to drown within his own water. His thirst is overcoming him. And then it goes back into the swallow and the consuming the mushrooms and such. And then the bright blue hue, that's like the water. You know, he's diving in the water, I guess. And then it goes on down, keeps going down. And then it says how it ends. It says, within the final hour, a soul was taken from the shower. You know, he succumbed to his hallucinates, but yet he's still awake. Are you still alive, if that makes sense?
Yep, I got you.
Okay.
Nice. All right, I'm going to go a little different. This is the moment of death. Two eyes fading, awaken. The yawn falls silent into the night. Stepping out from the blanket of fears, vessel emerges. Within each reflection, there's a half-empty glass. Emergence. Within the glass of fingerprints. Emergency. And there was a... within minutes, there's flashing of lights of blue hues. Ambulance. Two fading eyes closing. The yawn falls silent into the night. Blankets lay out on the floor, no question in sight. While all answers have been filed into a document, there's a visionary tale that there once was a soul. And again, the empty vessel. Soul is transitioning. It's not a question of whether you're able to answer. It's a delayed communication between two walls. That essence of the in-between, you still feel connected to your body, but you're outside of your body looking at the moment. That thought would be the shadow on the wall, the time frame, and within a reflection, a fraction of time, hands move together. That notion of you either move back into your body or you're actually moving on. And within the final hour, a soul was taken from the shower. So that could even mean the shower of light in moving on, or the shower itself, the fear within that hydration of knowing where you're going in the moment. So that was different. Thank you, Luke. All right, Pam.
All right, we're going to fit in one more poem for the night. And that is Puff Puff Pass for Real by Lauren 67. And Rex, please give that a read for us.
All right. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie in Puff Puff Pass for Real by Lauren 67. Puff Puff Puff. Hey, Alfie, are you floating in for sure, real sky? Puff Puff Puff. Puff, puff, pass, Nigel. Oh, my bad. Here you go, Alfie. Are you floating in for sure, real sky? No damn if there's nothing left. It's out, Bogart. Where's the kibbleweed? I got to roll another doobie. Puff, puff, puff. Ah, puff, puff. Now I'm floating in a for sure, real sky. Puff, puff, puff. Puff, puff, pass. Oh, my bad. Here you go, princess. P.S. I know it was supposed to be about surreal, but we're stone cats, and we don't know what that means. And poem.
Great read there, Rex.
I heard you giggling there, Val. What do you think?
Oh, I love your read was animated, and it really brought it to light. I like the part where he says here, no, damn it, there's nothing left. It's a Bogart. It's out, Bogart. Where's the Kimbleweed? Basically, they're going to get the stank weed or the not-so-good stuff, but yet they're going to puff, 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 pass. And at the end, I don't know if princess it becomes Nigel, because Nigel's such a princess, or he's such a kind of guy, you know, he's like has to be better than him or whatever. He's like such a wimp. But I really enjoyed this. This was funny and very animated. I like that.
Yes, Lawrence does not disappoint with Alfie and Nigel. They're a blast. All right, Pam.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. A great sense of humor. You did a wonderful read. You know, it's a classic Puff Puff Pass skit. I always like how he writes, you know, with the his pet, you know, as the main characters. I really like, no, damn it, there's nothing left. It's our Bogart. Where's the kibbleweed? I got to roll another Duber. And this was actually originally for the Break On Through show with the Surrealism Sky Prompts, which is why, you know, it was funny when he put, P.S., yeah, I know, it was supposed to be surreal, but we're stone cats and we don't know what that means. Excellent, fun humor, great read, Rex, and very well done.
It reminds me of that song, Don't Bogart That Joint, My Friend, Pass It Over to Me. Damn you, Nigel. I do like that bottom end. Yeah, we're stone cats. We don't know what that means, and we don't care at this point in time. We're floating in a real sky. And we try to. This kind of hits on the note of Cheech and Chong.
Yes. Yep, for sure. For sure.
Well, I guess we're at the back. Yeah, we're at the back. Yes, that was a nice, funny note to end on. I like that. Thank you, Phil, for dropping in to hang out and let us know. What are you training on anyway?
I'm going to be what they call a substitute position.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yes, I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, you sound like you're going to enjoy yourself, so that's a good thing. Happy news.
Yeah, I get to stay there for it, so I don't have to have all the crazy stuff, but it's going to be stressful. Not as stressful as my other job. That's working on the rig, so I'm excited.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing that no more. It's time to let the younger folk. Yeah, let the younger folk do that stuff.
I'm going to. That's going to happen. So I'm glad I'll be joined. I'll be here by myself for quite some time, so I'll almost try to join now every chance I get.
Okay, cool.
So
all right,
you guys,
Pam. Glad you stopped in. Great show, Pam. Thank you very much. Phil, thanks for stopping in. And Pee-wee Robbie for the boards, thank you very much. And we'll see you next Tuesday.